before we dive in, let me just say a quick word of prayer. Please join me. Lord, thank you for this evening to be together, to use our voices to lift up songs of praise to you. I pray that now as we dive into your word, you would enlighten your word to us. You would open our eyes and help us to behold wonderful things there and enable us to respond rightly to who you are and what you've done. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, it's very possible that many of you already know what is the true meaning of Christmas. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've grown up in church as a youth and you've attended Christmas parties or events like this, or you just have Christian friends and they've told you what the real meaning behind Christmas is. And of course, it's not Christmas trees and presents and Christmas lights and things like that. God sent us a Savior. Christmas celebrates that truth. The Bible tells us that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In other words, God himself, the Son, came into this world and took on our human nature. He was born of a woman, just like any other human being is born. And people knew him as Jesus of Nazareth. He took on our human nature because in order to save us from our sins, he had to become like us. He had to fully share in who we are as human beings in order to represent us before God. Now that truth, in some sense, it's very simple to say, but it can be hard to fully appreciate because we're not God and we weren't there 2,000 years ago when he came. And so this evening, my simple goal is to try and help you appreciate that truth a little more than when you first walked into this place this evening. And in order to do that, I simply want you to try and take a moment and imagine that you lived during the days of Jesus. And not so much during the days of his birth, because the astounding thing is that he was pretty much like any other baby around. Generally speaking, there wasn't much to distinguish him from any other child in Bethlehem that first night and those first few days. Now, let's fast forward a bit and imagine you were alive during the last several years of his life. So he's an adult. He's already started his public ministry. And let's say you were alive during that period of his life. And that's actually the marvel of Christmas, is what I'm talking about right now, is because you could actually interact with the Son of God in the flesh. You could have lunch with him. You could shake his hand, give him a hug. If he came into our world in this place and in our time, you could go to In-N-Out and have an In-N-Out burger with him. I mean, that's how real it was. You might see him at Costco. I don't know if he would shop at Costco. Maybe he would, because it's cheap prices. And he would like the bolt to give to crowds. But that's the amazing thing about Christmas. And let's say you lived during his time, lived near his hometown in the region of Judea. And during this time, you'd be hearing all sorts of reports, news about this Jesus. He would have been the talk of the town for months. Friends and neighbors are coming over and raving about him. That's like the only thing people are talking about. They're saying, man, have you heard about this Jesus guy? He's done some pretty amazing things. Some are saying that he's even the Savior that we've been hoping for. The one that all the prophets have spoken about, who's come down from heaven. So imagine, you've been hearing all these reports, all these people talking about Jesus of Nazareth, and then for some reason, Jesus decides to visit your hometown. And even more amazing than that, he decides to come over to your house. And by the way, that is not at all that inconceivable, because he actually did this with people in his day. He actually did visit people, and he said, I'm going to stay at your house. And of course, if that was you, you would say, oh yeah, absolutely, Jesus, come over to my house. And so let's say you're one of those favored ones. Jesus is coming over, and you got to spend the entire day with Jesus. How would you spend your time with him? Take a moment, think about it. You get to spend a day with Jesus Christ, whom today is widely recognized as the most famous and influential person in all of human history. But even, of course, back then, your perspective of excitement would have been real. You've been hearing all this news, all these stories about him and his life, and your time is limited. How would you spend your day with Jesus? You know, I think for a lot of people, they would be thinking, this is my chance to see for myself. This would be my opportunity to confirm all these reports I've been hearing. Is Jesus who he really says he is? Is he really God in the flesh? Of course, in order to try and confirm that, what would you be on the lookout for? Like, you would, I'm sure, if he came over to your house, you would be observing him very closely, right? You'd be wondering, okay, what is this Jesus guy like? And what would you be looking for? What kinds of signs would you be looking for? Of course, there's a sense in which, because he's fully human, he eats, he sleeps, he gets tired, he can bleed. He's like us in all things apart from our moral corruption. And that's, again, that's part of the wonder of Christmas. He shares completely in our nature. So you're not going to be so much necessarily amazed by the fact that he's eating food or he has to comb his hair or other things like that. What would you be looking for, though, to try and see, okay, this guy really did come from above. He is the Son of God. Well, for one thing, I'm sure you would pay close attention to his speech, the way he talked, right? You would listen to every single word he said and analyze every single word he said. If Jesus truly came from heaven, you would think that his words would give him away, right? You would ask him for counsel, and he would give you the wisest advice that you'd ever heard in your life. You would bring him all your questions, and he would give you answers that would satisfy all your yearnings, but then at the same time make you long for more. I want to hear more from you. If he is God, then you would imagine that he would speak with an authority, a confidence, a wisdom that you have never encountered before, all pointing to the fact that he's the Son of God. And this, of course, is exactly what people testified about Jesus. Crowds came from miles away and were willing to stand on the shore all day or sit in the field all day just to hear him teach. And Mark, the gospel author Mark, he wrote that people were amazed at his teaching. He taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of their day. Matthew says that many people were astonished and wondered, man, where did this guy get this wisdom from? His words gave joy to the outcasts of society. He was able to comfort the most brokenhearted of his day. Even when people approached Jesus with nefarious motives, the intention of trapping him, He never fell into their traps, and his enemies just completely gave up trying. And so after spending a day with Jesus and listening to his words, you'd be forced to conclude, I've never heard anyone ever speak like this. So far, so good. He must be from heaven. But then again, it's not just a speech, right? What else would you be looking for? What else would you consider? How else would you spend your time with Jesus? Well, probably you'd be wanting to see the way he lived, right? You'd be paying very close attention to his actions, the way he carried himself. If he's the Son of God, then he would certainly live differently, right? Not like the unprincipled people of our day, but like a true representative of heaven. You'd expect that of Jesus, right? And this is exactly, again, what people testified when they met Jesus. In Matthew 8, he gladly spent time with people in his society who were rejected, such as lepers and tax collectors. In other words, there was a compassion to his nature, a willingness to give him of himself and share of himself. He wasn't greedy. He wasn't stingy. He didn't want the crowds, when crowds would gather and stay with him for days, he didn't want them to go home and faint on their way home. And so he would feed them. Thousands of people he would feed. Even when people were difficult, slow to change, slow to understand spiritual realities, he never burst out in unrighteous anger against them. But he displayed incredible patience. Mark chapter 2, we see his willingness to even forgive sinners, not hold their failures against them. He even would pray for the forgiveness of those who would hurt and kill himself. After observing his actions, you would also have to conclude, man, this guy lives differently. He's not like my neighbors. He's not like my family. He's a cut above the rest of this, of the people around me. Again, check the box. I have no reason to doubt his personal claims of being from heaven, of being the Son of God. But of course, the day's not yet done. You still have a few hours left with Jesus to see for yourself. What else would you be looking for? Well, if he's from heaven, you would certainly think that the power of God would be on display in and through his life, right? And if you had the chance to spend the day with Jesus, you would not be disappointed. For when people came to him with needs and true faith, they witnessed the most awe-inspiring wonders. In the Gospel of Mark, one home crowd had the privilege of seeing a paralyzed person just get up, pick up his bed, and walk home with it. In Luke 8, one city became witnesses to Jesus healing this absolutely crazy person, such that he was just sitting there, no longer crazy, but in a sound mind, completely healed, night and day. In Matthew chapter 9, he restored the sight of several blind people. And of course, we could easily keep going. The gospel accounts are full of these amazing things Jesus did. He healed the sick, multiplied food, altered the weather. And that's just touching the surface. And if you got to spend the day with Jesus Christ, you would be astounded. There would be no other explanation. This guy can't be a charlatan. He must be the one the prophet spoke about. He must be the promised Savior, the Son of God. Now let's say the day's over. The sun is set. Jesus thanks you for your hospitality and he departs. For weeks, you're thinking about the time that you got to host Jesus in your house. It was a life-changing event. And that's what it was for many people. When they encountered Jesus, it was breathtaking, life-changing. They were never the same. Now let's say, a few months later, you get these other reports now. Jesus is dead. What? Jesus is dead? How could it be? He was arrested? He was crucified by the Romans? What happened? Of all people, certainly this guy did not deserve to die. He was the most amazing person to ever live. He was full of compassion. He was full of kindness. He knew the ways of God unlike any other person. How could this be? It would feel like almost a huge waste of a great life for him to die. But see, I fast forward to the end of his life because we cannot look at Christmas in isolation from the rest of his life. Christmas has a destination. Christmas has a purpose. Yes, he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. Yes, he was born in a manger. Yes, Mary was his mother, and some magi from the east came and visited him. Those are some fascinating details about his life. But the whole reason he had to be born was so that he could die. The Son of God didn't just come to heal the blind, to walk on water. He came to do the greater work of saving you from your sins. He had to become a man so that he could bleed, so that he could suffer, so that he could die. There's a reason we all die. Death is the great proof that we're all sinners. There's a reason why we all rage against death, by the way. You ever been to funerals? There's a reason funerals are sad. There's a reason why it hurts when we lose our loved ones. The fact that babies have to die, that I have to say goodbye to my mom or my dad, that I have to say goodbye to my brother or my sister. There's a reason our heart rages against those things. Because death is not a good thing. And as a human race, as God created us, we were not meant to die. There's a reason we hate death. It's the most painful thing. But it's the proof. It's the evidence that our world is corrupted by sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It gives a clear connection between sin and death. It says the reason we die is because of sin. And then there's a second death we all have to worry about when we stand before God and he casts us out of his presence eternally because we don't deserve to be with him forever. And then we're eternally separated from all his goodness, everything that he is, and we're cast into a place called hell. That's the second death. It's the worst death that's coming. But this is why there had to be a Christmas. This is the good news of Christmas. There had to be a birth so there could be a death. Jesus lives so he could die, so that his life and death could count for you. Grasp that. He came to represent you. That's why he had to take on our nature, because we, as sinful human beings, we deserve to die. That's the penalty we deserve for our sins. But then Jesus comes, the Son of God comes, and he says, I'm going to die the death that you deserve. That's why I take on your nature. That's why I'm born as a baby in Bethlehem. That's why I grew up. That's why I go to the cross. On that cross, I represent you. I bear your sins in my body on that cross. That's what Jesus does. The penalty that you rightfully deserve for your sins, and his death takes away the punishment that you deserve. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is everything he says he is. Believe that Jesus is everything he says he is. That he's Lord. He's the Son of God. He came down from heaven. He came to save you from your sins. You believe that and you follow him with all your heart, you can be saved from your sins this very day. Rescued from the judgment to come. If you submit your life to him this day. That's the wonderful news of Christmas. That's why we celebrate the birth of this little baby, because it means God gave us a Savior. He took on our nature so he could live for you and die for you. And while he may not have come over to your house, because we didn't get to live during the time of his first advent, yet he gave us his word. And he's visiting us all tonight through his word. And he's inviting you. Receive my salvation. Receive my forgiveness. You could ask for him to save you this very night. Pray with me. Maybe there are some of you out there that you do want to receive this gracious gift of salvation. All you have to do is, right there where you sit, call out to him, cry out to him, admit, confess your sin. Tell him that you've been going your own way. Tell him that you've been wayward, that you have not honored him as you ought. You are a sinner. I do deserve death, but I trust what your word says, that you came to live and die, to give your life a ransom, that it's only through Jesus that I could be saved from my sins. And I believe that. I confess you as Lord. I believe in my heart that you're even risen from the dead. You conquered my sin. You conquered that death. You cry that out to him, and you will be saved. And I do pray, Lord, for those who are here tonight, would your word fall in their on good soil, and would you save them? For your glory, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.